Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're talking this month about thankfulness, having a thankful spirit. We're basing this on a verse that we've introduced in Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. In this new covenant, that's the only sacrifice that we can offer up.
Yes.
Lips that give thanks to God for what Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. But it's kind of interesting when you really look at thankfulness. You know, there's many people that can just give lip service to that, mm-hmm. as if they're going through the motions only. But when you look at genuine thankfulness, you find that it flows from a place of contentment.
Yes.
When we're content in Christ, that's when we really see thankfulness as a large part of our attitudes. So genuine thankfulness flows from a place of contentment. Now, how do we become content in Christ? Well, there's an interesting word in the New Testament, and it is the word telos, and yes. we see it quite a number of times. It's sometimes translated as perfect. Mm-hmm. For example, in Matthew 5:48, this is the first time we see this Greek word in the New Testament. Jesus said this, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, that's a difficult thing
yes.
for us to do. Not only is it difficult, it's impossible. There is no way that we can make ourselves perfect as our Heavenly Father is. That is well beyond our scope. That's way above our pay grade. We just can't make that happen. But the word perfect, we think of it in terms of flawless perfection. You know, you think of a diamond, and, it, you know, if you say it's perfect, you mean it's flawless. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. Yeah. But in the New Testament, and even in the Greek language, in, you know, for example, Plato and Aristotle, this word telos was a big part of their philosophy. And what they thought of the word as an end or a purpose. They believe that there were ends or purposes to which all of life was leading. So they looked at it as kind of the end goal.
Yeah.
You know, where are we to end up as human beings? How can we flourish? And that's the end goal. Well, that's the context in the New Testament as well. There's one definition that says this, that telos is wanting for nothing. So perfection in this sense is really a place of contentment. And that is God's ultimate place or ultimate goal for each and every one of us, that we find contentment in Christ Jesus. And when we find contentment in Christ Jesus, then we can give genuine thankfulness because of all the things that he has accomplished for
yes.
us. And to take this one step further, and then we'll go to our phone lines, but when we get to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we see a couple of things. One, in 10:10, the writer of Hebrews says this, by that one sacrifice, he has made us holy.
Yes.
So he has set us apart. That's pretty good news. And then you go down to verse 14, again, by that one sacrifice, he has made perfect those who have been made holy in Christ. So what is that saying to us? Well, he has delivered us to that end goal, that we
yes.
can truly find our contentment in Christ Jesus. Do you know that you've been made perfect in Christ? Well, if not, will you embrace that today?
No.
Will you take a stand on that glorious truth and find your contentment in Christ? Because when you do, that contentment will be a well of thankfulness in your day-to-day experience.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We welcome your calls as well at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're going to start our broadcast today in Brooklyn, New York, with Oscar listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Oscar.
Good day, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Christopher and others. Yeah, my question is concerning St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, the true vine, the second verse. Could you give me some clarity on that second verse?
Well, we have to start with the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener.
Yes.
So, so when you think of a gardener, you think of somebody that pays very special and close attention to the plants that and vegetables and those sort of things that he's growing. And his desire is for those plants and those vegetables to flourish and to produce fruit that is going to be beneficial to his family and to other families. So when he looks at branches and plants and those sort of things, he may look and he may see some things that need to be cut out so the fruit can grow to its maximum amount. And so that's what this illustration is all about. So as God is the gardener and Jesus is the true vine and we are the branches, we're going to see that God the Father takes special care for us so that we can flourish and that we can bear much fruit. So that's his purpose and that's his goal for us. So what does verse 2 mean? That he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He's just saying that he is really lifting up this plant so that it can become the biggest and most productive plant that it possibly can. Now, many people look at that and say, see there, that means that we can lose our salvation. But that's not what this passage means at all. This is just about God the Father's care for us and pruning of us and growing of us so that we can bear fruit. That's God's goal for us, that we bear fruit. And he has committed himself to us so that that can be a possibility in our day-to-day experience.
That's entail more tender loving care or attention?
That's right, Oscar. That's what God provides for us in Christ. He cares for us, and he prunes us so that we can grow and we can bear fruit. That's what this whole passage is all about.
You know, when you see the word, he moves it away. It gives the wrong impression as far as I understand it.
Well,
he takes it away. I think the Thompson chain reference say he takes it away.
Yes. And that's what you see if there's a branch that's not producing. You prune that so the plant as a whole will grow. Richard?
Yeah, think of a plant where sometimes on a tree, or in this case a vine, you'll talk about a sucker. It's a little piece that starts, and you know that if you let it continue, it's going to lower the health of the plant. So you cut off those little suckers. And
right. And
what God knows about each of us who claim to be his children are who are real, who really have accepted Christ, and who are suckers, who are going to harm the body of Christ.
Okay.
And so he can do that. We don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
If you are a child of God, know that he's going to prune you, because there are aspects
right.
in each of us that need
True.
To be cut away. But there are some people, and this is common throughout the New Covenant. Whenever John or Paul or Peter are writing, they always write on the assumption that not everybody who's reading this letter is saved. They may be church members, but they may not be saved. And they're always writing in a way that says, if the shoe fits, put it on. Come to Christ, make him your total goal, your total focus, and this perfection that Bob talked about, this completion, will be yours in him. And in the meantime, the Father through the indwelling Holy Spirit, will continue to prune us, to get rid of those things that are unhealthy for us, and make us all, as children of God, more productive.
Well taken, well taken. Point well taken. Thanks for the clarity. God bless you all.
Well, thank you, Oscar.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call today. Well, let's move up to Cranston, Rhode Island, and talk with Diane. Hi, Diane. Diane, you're on the line. Well, we're not getting Diane, so we'll put her on hold, and we'll go to Staten Island and talk with our friend Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how are you, Bob?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. God bless you. My question, Bob, is as an associate pastor, or let's say a pastor's wife, are we able to file for bankruptcy?
Well, you would be able to file for bankruptcy based on the laws of the land.
Yes.
I mean, those laws are there. They're there for a purpose, to help us when we get in, you know, in over our heads. I mean, there could be all kinds of circumstances that would lead a person to filing bankruptcy. It's not the best thing to do. It certainly has repercussions and consequences moving forward as far as your financial health is concerned. But so just based on the fact that those laws are on the books and they're available to us as American citizens, we can take those. Now, Anthony, as far as believers are concerned, we certainly want to pay our debts. We want to satisfy those obligations that we have committed to. And so if possible, what I would suggest people to do who were in a very difficult situation, instead of filing bankruptcy, I would say let that be the very last option, is to reach out to your creditors and to try to make some arrangements.
Absolutely.
And do what you can. I know many years ago our ministry got into a little hot water with some money that we owed.
Yeah.
And we sat down and talked to the person that we owed it to, and we worked out a plan, and we were diligent and disciplined to carry out that plan. It was our top priority. And you know, in the year that we had set out to do that, we did it.
Yes,
we paid the bill in full, and those that were the recipients of it were extremely grateful. As a matter of fact, they picked up the phone and said, "You guys are real Christians. You have just shown us, you know, your character, the integrity of your character in fulfilling this obligation." So I think, Anthony, if at all possible, you sit down with the creditors, you tell them this is what your intention is, that you want to pay the debt in full, and is there any way to work out a way in which that can happen, that can give me a little relief right now, but can guarantee that you will have your debt paid in full in time.
Yes. Yes, and I believe that by making the effort to pay, that we're living righteously. My question is also, when you have, let's say, that outstanding debt and it's overwhelming, when the Lord came and He delivered us, right, and He wiped the slate clean, He washed away our sin, is that the same as bankruptcy? Oh, I mean, not, you know, like, is it spiritual bankruptcy if one files for bankruptcy?
No,
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I don't think I would go that far. I mean, we were spiritually bankrupt before Christ entered in our lives. That's why we needed Him. We had nothing to offer. We had nothing to satisfy that sin debt that we owed. That's why God sent Jesus to stand in our place, to take the punishment that we justly deserved. And He died and was buried, and then the third day He was raised back to life, and He says, "I want to bury all that old spiritual bankrupt life that you had, and I want to put that behind, and I want to raise you up so that you can live in the newness of life." That's what the gospel is. And as we're made new, now we have the wisdom of God living inside of us. His name is Jesus. And He gives us insight on how to handle every other area of life. And so in financial matters, we need to trust him. He has wisdom there for us.
Amen.
And so instead of just relying on the things that are available to us out there in the world, let's ask the Lord to give us some ideas and to give us some creative ways to solve the problems that we have as a result of poor financial decisions or just things that have happened out there that have
like
changed
an illness
or
something like that.
Changed our financial status. So
yes, absolutely. I agree.
Okay. Does that help, Anthony?
Yes, it helps mightily. Thank you, and I appreciate it. Thank you, and I praise God for your ministry, and I thank God for your ministry.
Well, thank you, Anthony. Yeah, thanks for those kind words, and we sure appreciate your heart for the Lord, my friend. You keep growing in his love and grace. Well, let's go down to Maria, listening to us in New York on WMCA as well. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Okay, I have a question. We were having a Bible study, and the person who was giving the class, these are babies taking classes, and the acupuncture and the yoga came up, and the person who gave the class was saying that that's bad, that you can't do that once you're a Christian. That's something evil. So I want you to explain me that, please.
Well, Maria, you know, yoga is tied to Eastern religion, and there was a religious, a spiritual aspect tied to the practice of yoga. So it wasn't just an exercise. It wasn't just trying to make the body flexible and nimble, but there was meditation. There was all kinds of religious connotations attached to the bodily exercises. So they were looking at things from a very holistic approach. But the religious connotations weren't based on the gospel, weren't based on truth, weren't based on the love and grace of Jesus Christ. So this was a way that they could kind of tap into, you know, the God of the universe type of thing. So definitely there was religious connotations to it that would be opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Maria, with all of those things, as John wrote in his first letter, we need to test the spirits. We need to have some discernment as to whether or not these things are going to be to our benefit. And what I mean by our benefit, our whole being. You know, is it going to, you know, compromise our faith? Is it going to take us down a path that we will compromise our faith, where we will try to take some of the good things from this philosophy or that philosophy or this religion or that religion and blend it with Christianity and come up with our own concoction of what we want to believe is true? So I think we need some discernment on that. Paul talked about that in Galatians. Don't be taken captive by empty and hollow philosophies. You're not going to find contentment in those empty and hollow philosophies. You're not going to find life there. The only place you can find life is in Jesus. And that's why he's lifted up as the preeminent one.
All right, so what if you do the exercise and you don't have to do their meditations and stuff like that? You don't believe in that. You just go for the exercise. That's still bad?
Well, I'd just say you're doing exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not participating in yoga. You're just doing exercise. But again, Maria, just always look at things with a sense of discernment and a real reliance and dependence upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Now, remember that Paul said, you know, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be controlled by anything. And so when you're allowing the Spirit to lead you into the proper kind of exercise or the proper kind of medical treatment, it really becomes a very practical thing. And we don't have to be afraid of it, but we have to have discernment. And the Spirit is there for that exact purpose.
Okay, what about acupuncture?
Well, that's a medical procedure. And in China, way back in the day, they were doing things medicinally that it took those of us in the West to figure out it took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for us to get to. Obviously, in China and other places where they practiced acupuncture, there were spiritual overtones, just like with everything else they did. I mean, something like karate or whatever, that everything had spiritual overtones. So be sane, be sober, let the spirit lead, make a decision, and go for it.
All right. So
whichever decision you choose, don't let guilt weigh you down. Ask the spirit to guide you, to help you discern what needs to be done, make the decision yes or no, and move forward.
All right. And so even though you participate, if you want to do that kind of exercise, acupuncture, but you feel fine with the Holy Spirit, will the Holy Spirit let you know that you're doing something wrong? Or
Well, I think, Maria, I'll tell you a story. You know, we can apply this on a lot of different fronts. You know, when I was in college, I was in a fraternity. We had beer parties and all sorts of things, and I participated in those. And then after really coming to know Christ in a deep way, you know, I'd try to go back to some of those parties, and I just didn't feel like I belonged there anymore. And I think that was the Holy Spirit teaching me some things about my new identity in Christ. And I think you can rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you the same thing, and you will be able to make decisions based on his input into your life. Well, Maria, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let's go to the Bronx and talk with Deborah, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. What's on your mind today?
Oh, wow. Interesting callers. Anthony needs to contact Dave Ramsey. As you know, Dave Ramsey is a brother. He's in the Lord, and he has phenomenal, what I would say, spiritual insight on finances. You were speaking about that one sacrifice earlier in the show, and amen to that, because that one sacrifice is so powerful. Spiritually guarantees me success. And spiritual overtone, that's how I live my life. Spiritually, as the Bible says, for those who have the eyes, let them see. Those who have the ears, let them hear. And I pray for the majority of people who still are trying to make, you know, the word physical. It's spiritual first, then everything else follows after that. And I enjoy listening to your show, and I thank you so very much for the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Deborah. Thanks for your call, and thanks for your comments. We certainly appreciate that. We're going to quickly go to Joseph in Queens. Hi, Joseph. We just have about a minute. How can we help you today?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing great today. I just wanted to touch on, can you hear me, Carl? Okay?
Yes.
Okay, well, I just wanted to, I love you guys. I listen to you guys every day, and, you know, I just want to say, I heard you guys talking at, like, maybe like a week ago about physical healing. And I just wanted to chime in on that a little bit. I just feel like the, you know, physical healing, I believe that physical healing is part of the package of the finished work. And I just...
Well, Joseph, let me just jump in because we just have a couple of seconds. Yes, sure. Physical healing is a part of the package. And some of us will experience some physical healing here. But ultimately, these bodies, every single one of them is going to die unless Jesus comes back while we're still living. And if that happens, then these bodies are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Those who have gone before, they're going to be raised with new bodies. And those new bodies will have no illness, no disease, no sickness, nothing. They will be perfect as God intended. And that's all the result of Christ's finished work on the cross. Yeah. So can we count on physical healing here and now? No. Sometimes people are healed, sometimes people are not. But if they're not healed here, they're going to experience their full healing in the resurrection.
Yes.
Well, Joseph, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. This is Basic Gospel, a listener-supported program. If you can help us continue to get the word out, we would greatly appreciate it. A gift of $30, $100, $500 would make a big difference to people that tune in each and every day. Go to basicgospel.net. Make a contribution today. Well, we'll be back for a teaching edition tomorrow. We'll see you then.